Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Here we are on a Tuesday. How you doing, Eastern Iowa? Spencer on Sports, Power Hour edition for the next 60-ish minutes or so here on 1600 ESPN. Glad to be back with you after kind of a rocky schedule. Me without a voice for a couple of days. We had some Cubs broadcasts in there. Still got some today. It's a part of being on the sports radio side of things, right? Glad to be back with you here post-NCAA championship, 319-366-1600. The Big Ten finally off the schneid. Michigan. Hail to those victors. They were victorious last night over the UConn Huskies. We'll spend quite a bit of time on that in the hour we have together here on 1600 ESPN. Also want to talk transfer portal because there's been plenty of transfer portal headlines. The portal now officially open for both men's and women's basketball. We'll get into that coming up after 4:30. Also get you a very quick Cubs report brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers before top of the hour. Some bad news has not been a lot of good news to start the season for the Cubs, and some just coming across their top pitcher, one of their top pitchers, Cade Horton, out for the rest of the season. More details on that before 5 o'clock. You'll hear plenty more on the Cubs radio pregame show, which starts in about 1 hour here on 1600 ESPN, so we won't go too in-depth, but we'll get you the latest as Game 2 between the Cubs and the Rays comes your way tonight. 5:05 pregame, 5:40 first pitch. We got it for you on all of our frequencies here on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600 if you want to join in on the conversation here for a Tuesday afternoon. Our Tuesday show is, of course, brought to you by the Wellness Lounge in Coralville. From D1 athlete to weekend warrior, you can soothe and improve your body at the Wellness Lounge. Check them out online at thewellnessloungeia.com. As we come to you here on 1600 AM all across Eastern Iowa, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Of course, plenty of ways you can stream us. KGYMradio.com. You can also check us out on our free KGYM Sports Radio app, which is available in your app store. Grab it today if you have not already. We had quite a few. I have all the numbers. I keep track of that stuff. That's part of my real job outside of talking sports with you. We had quite a few people join in the app club, which is good to see last month. If you have not downloaded it today, or maybe you uninstalled it, you're mad at me for something, so you're like, I'm uninstalling the app, and you want to reinstall. That's fine, man. Whatever you got to do. You can go to the App Store, whether you're an Apple or Android user, and get that today. Again, 319-366-1600, abbreviated show today, but that's A-OK for us here. Very specific things to focus in on today, and I'll get to some hoops talk in just a moment. Isaac's back. It's been a while. How are you over there?
I'm doing all right. And sad basketball season's over.
Yeah.
College basketball season,
right.
I should say.
It was. Is it ever really over with the transfer portal? Because I feel
that's
like
true.
It's just like with college football. There's always something. There's legal battles and conference realignment and, I don't know, just random stuff on that end. And now for college basketball, you have like the 2-week period of the portal,
which I think is going to be probably pretty crazy. It seems like this year there's a bunch of people who are just re-entering. I don't know. The transfer portal, as always, chaos.
As of earlier today, and this is as of 2 o'clock today, 1,500-plus men's basketball players alone in the transfer portal. I did not check Talia Goodman from On3. She's the everything women's basketball guru, it feels like, on social media and with their website, men. They had probably close to 2,000, I would imagine. It's just insane. But that's just, you know, people are going to, you'll hear some in our industry say, I can't believe there's 1,500 people in the portal. Like, or the number just keeps going up. Yeah, it does, because this is college sports now. You have a good season, portal. If you have a bad season, portal. If you had a middling season, portal. If you're an all-star player, portal. If you were a bench warmer, portal. Like, I mean, it's just, that's just how things are. And so sitting here and pretending to be surprised that the portal opened at midnight last night and there's already 1,500-plus players in the portal at 4 o'clock on the next afternoon is you're being disingenuous, in my opinion. It's just that's how things are. And unlike, and so far, and things can change quickly, but unlike women's basketball, things have been fairly quiet on the men's side for teams here in the state of Iowa. There have been a few moves here and there. Haven't seen anything really from Iowa City just yet. There was some news yesterday, which we'll get to, kind of involving Ben McCollum and the North Carolina job. He's not taking the North Carolina job, but the hiring of Mike Malone, which I didn't have that one on my list of candidates. I don't have a list of coaching search candidates, but the hiring of Michael Malone as the new head coach of the Tar Heels, I think caused some Iowa fans to breathe a little bit easier. Iowa State, too, because T.J. Otzelberger was mentioned in that as well. Now it's, I think, the Kansas job that I think you're kind of like keeping the back of your head if you're an Iowa fan, but you're hopeful that Ben McCollum will stay and do what he's done at Iowa for many, many years to come. That's the next, I think, kind of like big name hurdle to cross whenever Bill Self calls it a career. Not guaranteed he's going to take the job, but it's going to be one of those where he's going to be on the short list because he had so much early success. It's just like Kurt Cignetti. I know McCollum said in the run-up to the Elite Eight that they had, he prefers the Kirk Ferentz kind of like, you know, comparison because, you know, Kirk is Kirk, right? But it's very similar to the Kurt Cignetti type of instant success. You have instant success. You have maybe some possible ties to a place, and maybe not at all. You're just a up-and-coming coach, and you've done good things at a place where not a lot of good things have happened in quite some time. And, of course, you're going to get looked at by everybody, right? And that's just, I think, you know, what's going on right now. And, you know, Iowa's been a solid program, but we know the warts and the shortcomings that they've had, especially under Fran McCaffrey. And now that, you know, boom, they're going to the Sweet 16, beating Florida, going to the Elite Eight, knocking out Nebraska, you know, like a 5 minutes away from the Final Four, essentially, like a better end of that second half away from, like, people are going to pay attention to that. And it's not that Iowa's a mid-major program. Iowa is not High Point. High Point is not Iowa. But you get what I mean. It's just that is where things tend to go. But in this day and age, I think you have a little bit more schools like Iowa and Iowa State, which are widely seen as not better jobs than North Carolina. North Carolina, you know, still one of the top jobs in college basketball simply because they have a ton of money that they're going to put into that program. Right, they're North Carolina. They're not going to let you. They're not going to let the team fall. I mean, they kind of did under Hubert Davis, if we're being completely honest. But they're not going to let that program go without money, without spent expenditures, without, you know, donations and NIL and stuff like that. So, in terms of, you know, where will you be supported a ton? North Carolina certainly is much different than Iowa or Iowa State. But now Iowa and Iowa State have many more tools at their disposal, so it's not automatically a, oh shoot, the big time school came and poached our coach and we can't do anything about it. Oh shucks. Now you got a war chest. Now you've got, you know, things that can at least give you a fighting chance. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed, but at least gives you a fighting chance. So I know a lot of Iowa fans, quite a few of them, maybe not a lot of them, but quite a few of them probably breathing a little easier with Michael Malone going to North Carolina, which is certainly an interesting hire, considering college experience like 20-some years ago, long, long time ago, the Greg Campy coaching tree, the guy at Oakland University of Michigan, yeah, who would have seen that coming? But a really successful coach, right? Won a championship with the Denver Nuggets in the NBA.
It's good. It's good. The job is done. We can go home now.
That was my excuse to play the Joker clip. Haven't been able to play it in quite some time. 319-366-1600. Let's talk about last night's championship game. Here we go on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm not even sure why that played. I played the wrong guys. I haven't done my show in like a week. Oh, boy. Don't put this on the highlight reel. We need some blooper reels. Here we go.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow. That is really, really big.
I guess the breaking news is that Michigan is your national champion. It's not really breaking anymore. Breaking news is in the moment. This is a couple hours old, almost 24 hours old, but the Wolverines beating the UConn Huskies last night. Kind of an ugly basketball game. UConn certainly making Michigan play their style, but the Wolverines in the end made a few more shots than the Huskies did. And I think we're overall the more talented team, but I'm curious your view on the end of the college basketball season, Michigan winning the NCAA tournament last night with their 69-63 win over the UConn Huskies. 319-366-1600. What did you make of the victory for Michigan? And what do you make of the Big Ten kind of being at the top of all the big sports right now? I mean, football alone, they've won three straight championships. Indiana, the most recent. Women's basketball, UCLA, they cut through all the clutter. They avoided getting Gina Auriemma on their bad side over the weekend and ended up winning the title over South Carolina, dominated them, and now Michigan finishing what they started. They were one of the best teams all season long, had a few hiccups on the road, lost to Wisconsin. That's kind of the outlier loss for them. Wisconsin is a good basketball team, but in the grand scheme of things, when you look at how the Big Ten played out and how the tournament played out too, losing to Wisconsin, especially on your home floor, kind of what the heck happened there? A loss to Duke, right? A team that got to the Elite Eight, and then losing to Purdue in the Big Ten tournament championship game. But in the end, that didn't matter. They ran through the tournament. Their first round game, second round game, Sweet 16 game, Elite Eight game, even their Final Four game against Arizona, everybody was billing that. Oh, it's going to be the greatest basketball game of the season. Best one of the season. As somebody who picked Arizona to win their bracket, man, that was not a good game at all. But if you're a Big Ten fan, if you're a Michigan fan, that certainly was exactly what you wanted. Not a great shooting night for either side last night. You knew UConn was going to bring the fight to them. Even when they are, I think there's a gap between talent and physicality level, right? I think UConn certainly does what they want to do, and that's drag you kind of into the mud. Danny Hurley said that on the broadcast last night. The only way we can win this game is to kind of drag them down into it. And that's kind of what they did in that game. Michigan was getting good looks inside, couldn't make a three to save their life. Finally got one with 11, 12 minutes left in that game last night. And UConn gave him a push even when it looked like Michigan was firmly in control. Trey McKinney, the big three to really put that one out of reach last night. In the end, UConn had a couple of chances there, just couldn't pull it out. And Michigan is your national champion. 37-3 record overall for the Wolverines, while the UConn Huskies finish at 34-6. Your big players last night, Elliot Cadeau, who was great all season, seemed a little shocked to win the most outstanding player of the Final Four. He finished with 19 points last night. Yaxel Lendeborg, who got banged up in that game against Arizona, just 13 points, 7 rebounds for him. Merez Johnson, right, another transfer. In fact, their entire starting lineup, nothing but transfers. That was something that was talked about quite a bit on last night's broadcast. But Johnson with a double-double, 12 and 10. Mara was dominant inside. And really, it was just kind of it wasn't a dominant victory that we had been used to seeing from Michigan in this tournament. We had been used to seeing from them all season long, right? I mean, it wasn't every night in or night out, but, they're running through the Big Ten, throughout most of the season, and they were the better team. Of course, there were a few games in there where they, lost or won a close game. They went to Penn State and only won by a couple points. They went to Iowa, and Iowa was a couple points away from knocking them off too. So they weren't without kind of like a that old kind of battle-tested type of thing. They certainly had, their moments where they had to earn it on the road. But night in and night out this season, right, it just like, yeah, Michigan's that team. And, the Arizona, people talked about them. Duke, I think if they're fully healthy, maybe, for this tournament, maybe you're talking about them, giving them a little bit more of a challenge. Who knows if that south region of the bracket was anything but chaotic, right? if Iowa and Illinois didn't upset the apple cart, maybe something else happens down there and you get a Florida or a Houston through. But in the end, Michigan put together the team, Dusty May and crew put together the team that got them a national championship. You know, they were one of the best teams in college basketball all season long. And this isn't a question, obviously, of did they get it right or did the right team win? I think the right team of the teams left won. It just, yeah, there was a little bit of doubt. And you're always going to have that in a championship game, right? There's going to be a situation, you know, the other team isn't going to give anything to you easily, right? So, you know, I don't think anybody expected a 95-62 win yesterday for Michigan. Maybe it would have been an outlier type of performance, you know, something similar to what UCLA did in the women's side against South Carolina on Sunday. But in this case, you know, the more talented team won, the better team won. Michigan grinding it out when they had to, and UConn just not enough. But regardless of what you think about Danny Hurley, regardless of what you think about UConn, right, as a program, you know, you still give them a ton of credit for getting to this point because, I mean, I had them losing to Michigan State. A lot of people had them getting knocked out by Duke. Looking at our 1600 ESPN bracket challenge, quite a few of you had UConn in the Final Four. You were a little bit more of a believer in the Huskies, the two seed coming out of that that top quadrant in the bracket. But Michigan wins, and I'm curious what you think. 319-366-1600 if you want to chime in on the text line, phone line open as well here as we're on the Power Hour edition of the program with you till 5 tonight here on 1600 ESPN. What'd you think of Michigan winning the championship, the game itself, and then I guess the Big Ten question too. Big Ten is the king of most sports for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, I think for Michigan, so they had a really good run all tournament. Not surprised that they won. A little bit surprised how they won. They were pretty poor shooting the three yesterday. Only hit what two threes all game. And so I would have maybe expected, just because that had been a strength for them during the tournament, that maybe that leans a little bit more towards UConn. And I think, to UConn's credit, they definitely pulled Michigan down into a game that, or to playing a style that UConn had to make them play in order to give them a chance to win. So to UConn's credit, they did execute the game plan fairly well. It just wasn't quite there enough. But Michigan, I think, yeah, like you said, fair to say that they were the best team all tournament. Fair to say they were the best team arguably all season. Super athletic, really big. Like, some of that stuff just really popped throughout the entire tournament, popped a ton yesterday, where there were just multiple times where, like, Michigan's just too big. Like, they have such a great interior presence that UConn consistently didn't have an answer for. And I think they deserve it. And then for the Big Ten as a whole, maybe a little bit too early to say, like, completely dominant, because it's 1 year, maybe a couple more extended years. In football, for sure, it's fair to say that. But for basketball, maybe you want to see a little bit more extended success, like a couple different teams winning championships across, like, five seasons or something like that would indicate more of a turning of the tide. But I think, broadly speaking, the Big Ten has benefited from, you know, rev share and NIL spending, because a lot of the alums from Big Ten schools have pretty deep pockets because they're pretty prestigious schools, and we don't need to get into all of that sort of stuff. But there is a definite economic side that benefits the Big Ten more so than some of the SEC schools when you consider prestige of the universities, that, you know, how the national view of these and how big a degree getting us or how good of a degree from Michigan or good of a degree from UCLA is on a national scale.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting to look at that perspective. I think you're right. Football, it's a trend, right? The Big Ten has captured the last three national championships, right, with Michigan, Ohio State, and now Indiana. I think you could safely say the tide has turned there. Is this a one-off, right, for men's hoops? I mean, it's the first time in a long, long time that the Big Ten has won a men's national championship. The last one, of course, was Michigan State back in 2000. Of course, they've had plenty of chances. It's just they came up short in all of those chances, whether it was Indiana back in 2002, ironically losing to Maryland, who is now in the Big Ten, but that counts as an ACC national championship Then Illinois losing to North Carolina back in 05. Ohio State losing to Florida back in 2007. Michigan State again in 2009. Michigan had a couple chances in there, 2013 and 2018. Wisconsin was I think favored slightly against Duke in 2015 and couldn't get it done. Purdue a couple seasons ago in 2024 losing to UConn 75-60. So they've had plenty of shots at it. They just haven't been able to complete kind of the climbing of the mountain. Haven't been able to get to the mountaintop, but they've been close. And yeah, I know close doesn't really matter in college basketball. Do you win or do you not win? And Michigan won, and no question about it, they were one of the teams. I was surprised looking at the stats on the ESPN Tournament Challenge when I was sorting that out yesterday afternoon. Excuse me, how nationwide how few people picked Michigan. Right, it was Duke and Arizona, and I'm the one of the marks who picked Arizona, right? But it was like 10 points. I'd have to pull it back up, but like 10-point-some percent of brackets picked Michigan. And like, well, Michigan deserved their flowers too. I think everybody kind of maybe saw that trend of, okay, the Big Ten kind of fizzles in the biggest moments. Their teams kind of fizzle in the biggest moments, and this is – you know, the bucking of the trend. I think you're, like I said, with men's basketball, women's basketball too. UCLA, if they can continue doing what they did with you bringing in transfers, right? I mean, winning a national championship certainly helps with recruiting, helps with bringing in transfers, stuff like that. It's going to be hard to replace a Lauren Betts, right, with that team. But you know, UCLA is on the map now. I think they're a perennial contender under Corey Close now. But the thing you still look at in the women's side is, okay, like South Carolina, UConn, Texas, Notre Dame, right? Like, I mean, even Notre Dame is a stretch, like Vanderbilt, LSU, like, so these schools that are really good, but it's still that kind of big three of UConn, South Carolina, Texas, you know, LSU still is a contender with Kim Mulkey there. So it might not be as easy for the Big Ten to retain kind of the championship if it continues to be UCLA over and over again. Okay, that's great, but I think it if it's a different program each year like you brought up in football, I think maybe it means a little bit more and gives a little more credence to everything. 319-366-1600, 6897 on the text line says it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. It's great to be. Is that the chant? If you're a Michigan fan, man, you are having a heck of a day. If you're a Michigan fan, how late did you stay up last night? Or you probably had to work today. So you probably once you get older, your team wins something. It's like, all right, we won. Time to go to bed. We won this. Time to go to bed. That was me with the 2021 Bucks. Like, oh yeah, I had to be on the radio in the morning. The next morning, I'm like, the Bucks won the championship. I want to watch this. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I gotta go to bed. I gotta be up at 6 to be on the air by 8. Yeah, that wasn't how I wanted it to be. You gotta be an adult though. 319-366-1600-0983. The game was meh, but Michigan was the best team in the country. It would have been good to see a Duke rematch, but I think Michigan would win the rematch. You mentioned the 3-point shooting. That was crazy last night. They made 10 plus threes, Michigan did, in their first five games, each of their first five games of the tournament. They started the game 0-for-10, finished 2-of-15, 13.3% from beyond the arc. The fifth worst 3-point percentage in the national championship since the 3-point line was introduced back in 1987. The second worst behind the 2011 UConn Huskies, who shot 9% in 2011. It was that UConn-Butler game, wasn't that, where it was like the final was like 48-42 or something, 51-45, wasn't it? I was cheering for Butler big time in that one. 319-366-1600. Let's hear a little bit from Dusty May. Dusty May, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, talking about It's what it means to win the national title and bring one home to Ann Arbor.
When you bring a group this talented together and they decide from the beginning that they're going to do it this way and they never waver and they never change, that's probably the most uncommon thing in athletics now. And it's a tribute to their to them, their character, but also those in their circles around them, their coaches, their parents, their mentors. They allowed these guys to give themselves up for the group, and it's never guaranteed, but for these guys to cut down the nets after all they sacrifice is pretty special.
And May on what this championship means to the team as a whole.
It further strengthens their bond, and we didn't need this for that to happen because of their actions all year, but to hang we talked about it early in the season, a center banner. Like, we have a lot of, Michigan's got a proud tradition. There's a lot of banners on the side. There's one lonely banner up in the middle, and if we were having a bad practice or we didn't have our edge, we would remind them that if we're ever going to hang another banner so that one has some company, then we can't have these type of days or we can't have these type of practices. And usually that was one way that we could refocus our group.
That's Michigan head coach Dusty May there. The I was looking at this a little bit further from ESPN research here about the national championship game, the three-point shooting last night. UConn 9.1% back in 2011. They won the national championship. There were two other teams that shot 9% from three in a title game, but both lost. That was 1992 Michigan. They lost 9.1%. 1990 Duke shot 9% from three and lost. And then the 2018 Michigan team. So this is something Michigan has had experience with. Shooting from beyond the arc, just going ice cold at the worst possible moment. The 2018 Michigan team shot 13%. They actually made one more three than this year's team did and lost. And this year's Michigan team shot 0.3% better from beyond the arc and won. So it further proof you can not make a three, go 0-for-10 to start and still win the game. It helps to have Adai Mara.
Yeah, I was going to say, it helps to have some giant athletic monsters
Yaxel
just
Lendeborg, yeah. And, yeah, it helps to have guys like that. It helps to have a defense that can turn over the other team pretty quickly. And UConn, you know, they shot themselves in the foot quite a bit last night,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Refs missed a 10-second call on UConn.
Right.
There are a number of different, turnovers or – you know, step out of bounds, right? Just missed shots too. Like, you gotta make shots in tournament situations, and you gotta make shots in any game if you want to win. That's Spencer's obvious point of the day. To win the basketball game, guys, you must make shots. Who would have thought? But Michigan was the best team in the country.
Yeah, they were just better. I do think UConn did a pretty good job at dragging Michigan down and keeping it close and making Michigan play a style that UConn wanted them to. It's just Michigan, I think, was far more talented, far more athletic. Like, some of that stuff just popped. And to their credit, too, it would have been pretty easy, I think, to eventually, or in your head, just say, well, eventually the three-point shots are going to start going down. But they kind of moved away from it. Like, they didn't shoot it as – it would have been easy for them because they're like, hey, we made 10-plus previously. Like, maybe, you know, law of averages says eventually they're going to start falling – and they just moved away and changed offensive strategies to really get them inside, and that worked really well, obviously, for them. They won the game. But to Michigan's credit, they were able to adapt to the poor three-point shooting and sort of change offensive mindset from first half to second half, shooting 10 in the first half to 5 in the second half.
The free throw line was huge for Michigan. They made 25 of 28 from the charity stripe last night. That is the sixth best free throw percentage by any team in the national championship, 89% from the foul line. The best was the 2014 UConn team. They went 110-for-10, 100% from the free throw line. Second best was the 61 Ohio State Buckeyes, shooting 93.8%. So there you go. Free throws matter, especially in a close game, a championship game. Like that. 319-366-1600. Keep your thoughts coming on the championship game last night. 8582 says the game was yuck versus gross. I was not a fan of either team. I was not particularly thrilled by the first half of basketball, but you know, it's the last college game of the season, so I think a lot of us are like, even if we don't like the teams that are playing, we're still gonna make some time for it. on our TV screens or on our tablets or whatever you're watching on last night. 319-366-1600. We'll stick with college hoops for a little bit longer. I want to talk a little transfer portal. Look at some of the moves that have happened yet today. And look at some of the moves that have happened since we talked last for both men's and women's hoops. Get your thoughts on those and more. And then we'll get to a Cubs report and wrap things up. Power Hour edition of the show with you till 5. Cubs pregame starts at 5:05 here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
A spotty rain shower will be possible this evening as well as into tonight. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and it will be breezy with temperatures dropping back into the upper 30s. Skies will be partly sunny as we go throughout our Wednesday with a few chances for showers in the afternoon and evening. It will be very windy, but temperatures will warm up into the lower 70s. For Wednesday night, we'll see a few more spotty showers across the area. Temperatures will drop in the low 40s. We could see a shower late on Thursday with a high temperature around 60. And that was a check. View by the first forecast, I'm meteorologist Kason Frere.
Jill Armstrong brings sparkle wherever she goes, and she shines brightest helping you buy or sell your home. Jill Armstrong loves, loves, loves working with people like you and puts in endless hours to get you to a rewarding closing day. Meet the entire thoughtful, meticulous team at JillArmstrong.com. The Jill Armstrong team with Skogman Realty, successfully helping people buy and sell their homes for over 25 years with a lot of hard work and a little bit of sparkle.
You can't not have a blast at Bulldogs. It's got everything. State-of-the-art bowling?
Of course.
Bar and full-service restaurant?
You bet.
Hatchet throwing?
Uh-huh.
Pool and darts?
Duh.
Arcade games?
Affirmative.
You'll have more fun than you ever knew you needed. And for a birthday party, graduation, or corporate event, Bulldogs is the place. See event package details at Bulldogs.com. It's scientifically impossible not to have a great time at Bulldogs in North Liberty. So come in and play. Bulldogs, fun for the whole pack.
Hi, this is Jeremy, manager at Tommy's Express Car Wash here in Cedar Rapids. Spring is finally here, and after a long Iowa winter, your vehicle probably needs a little spring cleaning inside and out. At Tommy's Express, we're here to help you wash away all that dusty, dirty road grime in just a few minutes. Stop by and enjoy a fast, high-quality wash, free vacuums, and a friendly local team ready to help your car shine again. We can't wait to see you soon at Tommy's Express Car Wash. Love your ride.
The search for your favorite local restaurant ends at Emil's Hideaway. You're tired of try-too-hard menus and all the hype. So escape to the best comfort food around and an actual good time. Emil's Hideaway, away from the noise on Glenbrook Drive Southeast off First Ave in CR.
You've said it before. This will only take a second. Just a quick glance. A fast reply. But on the road, seconds don't wait for you. They decide everything. Who stops? Who doesn't? Who makes it home? So next time your phone lights up, ask yourself, is this distraction worth a ticket or even a life? Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Power Hour show back with you here on 1600 ESPN. Cubs and Rays coming up in just a little bit here, about 25 minutes away from the start of the pregame show on all of our frequencies. Another Power Hour tomorrow, then I have to do a full show on Thursday for the first time in like a month and a half, it feels like. It's actually about a week a day, but back to a somewhat normal schedule for Thursday before things get abnormal again on Friday. Appreciate you sticking with us, though, through some of the health problems, as you can hear. You listened to last Wednesday's show. It's not an April Fool. I'm not disguising my voice. Legit did not have a voice. So that's why I wasn't here Thursday. I was here. I was in the building. Wasn't here on the air. And then live sports took over the airwaves last couple of days, but now we're back. Glad to be back with you. I enjoy doing the program. This is what I do. I talk about sports on the radio. It's my life. I want to be here talking to you about stuff, not, you know, sitting in my office guzzling hot tea and eating a cough drop every 30 minutes. I think I'm somewhat close to normal. 319-366-1600, your thoughts on the national championship game and the men's basketball season as a whole. Welcome on the text line. A little bit of portal stuff to get to here for today. It's been an interesting portal window just opened for men's basketball, just opened for the women's side yesterday. Not too much. We talked about this briefly at the beginning of the show, but as of 2 o'clock this afternoon, 1500 plus men's basketball players in the portal. I did not check the women's number. It's probably 1500 plus as well, probably close to 2000 since they had an extra day. Their portal opened on Monday. And of course, in this day and age of social media and agents reaching out and players making their announcements on social media to get out ahead of the media spin, we've seen, of course, Iowa State with initially 10, now 9 players on the women's side going to the portal. Iowa's got 5 now on the women's side. Don't have many on the men's side just yet, but the day is still young, and we'll see what happens with this. Did you check out the women's portal number?
Yes. I don't know. I assume she updated it. This is from Talia Goodman's, like, tracker page. She has 1293, so less than you would expect, but still,
yeah,
1293 is still a pretty crazy high amount, yeah. But less than 2000.
Less than 2000, that's good, but it might get there. The men's quickly approaching that here, but the transfer portal stuff, we've been talking about it and following it pretty closely here, and we'll continue to do that. The women's side, the latest update since we talked last, nothing really has, I guess, aside from Addie Deal, surprised many people out there. The two that entered yesterday when the portal window officially opened, Tegan Mullaney, the sophomore from Wisconsin who was on the Iowa team the last couple of seasons. She just had a good run of bad luck this past year. Got injured early in the scrimmage. She dealt with tonsillitis, according to multiple reports, and really didn't see much playing time. So it hurts when players transfer, right? If you're a fan, but when you see kind of the need for more playing time, right? I'm trying to give you absolutely have a right to be upset with players leaving your school. I'm not saying you're wrong if you're upset about it, but I'm just as a sports media personality and as someone who watches games and stuff and as someone who tries to think about things from every angle and come up with the most rational and balanced take, which might not be all that popular in this day and age in media, but there are players who have plenty of talent. There are players who are looking for playing time. There are players who, right, maybe just had the worst luck possible. They don't see a path forward at the school they're currently at. So moving on to a new place is certainly probably the path that they were going to take. You hope everybody sticks around. The coaches hope everybody sticks around. But that's just not realistic in this day and age. And especially, you know, if you're looking for playing time, you feel you have the talent, you can play in this in a certain conference, whatever. All you can really do as a fan, right? And I'm not telling you how to be a fan, but this is all you can really do in reality is, hey, hope it works out for them, right? That's the most measured thing you can do. I understand if you want to be a little bit upset about it, but when you see players like Mullaney and others, whether you're Iowa fan, Iowa State fan, whatever fan, team you're a fan of, that's college sports, and it's not changing anytime soon with it. But Tegan Mullaney announced her intentions to enter the portal. And then the one that really was no surprise to anybody, considering she hadn't played since December, was Emily Rodriguez. No one really knows, I mean, aside from inside the basketball offices, knows what the heck happened there. But there was a suspension. There was a back injury. She was with the team, but she never played. And it seemed all but certain that things were headed for for a separation. And that's a swing and a miss in the portal, right? I mean, you're going to have those, right? Even the best coaches in college sports have swings and misses in the portal. And that was definitely a miss for Jan Jensen and the Iowa women's team. But five total. Addy Deal, the most surprising, although the more you read about it, Chad Lystico had a good piece on it in the Des Moines Register late last week. The more you read about it and the more you, you put the pieces together in your own understanding, maybe the fit wasn't there as well, even though it sure seemed like there was going to be a fit when she committed to the Hawkeyes. But, again, that's college sports. That's how things work. And it's brutal as a fan, right? It's absolutely brutal as a fan. But you come to expect it. It creates work, right? I mean, talk about work. Iowa State's got 9 players in the portal. Iowa's down to 6 players for next season's team. So Bill Fenley, Jan Jensen, they got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of talent that they need to identify and identify quickly and try to get them for the team. We'll see how it turns out. Iowa has a visit scheduled from Kenzie Hare, who was just at Iowa State last season, right? Three-point kind of sharpshooter type of player. That's one. You need 5-6 more. So it's a process. There will be basketball next year. It might not look like it now on April 7th, but there is going to be hoops next year, which is, you know, they will field the team. Things do work out in the end. But right now it's a little bleak if you look at the roster. Tennessee's down to 1 player, by the way. I don't know if he's at Tennessee. I'm surprised they haven't fired their coach yet. Like, 8 of their players have left the school. Like, what is going on with that? But that's on the women's side. On the men's side, a couple old friends have entered the portal today. Seydou Traore remembers some ex-Hawks. Seydou Traore was at Utah. Do you remember that he was at Utah? Did you forget? Do you remember him at Iowa? I thought he had some talent on a mediocre to bad team, but Seydou Traore back in the portal, as is Owen Freeman, leaving Creighton. I don't think either of them will be coming back to Iowa City, especially Owen Freeman. That seems like something that flew the coop a long time ago.
It doesn't seem like a personality fit is how I would put it with Ben McCollum.
No.
That's the nicest way I'm going to put it.
Yes. Would agree with that. A couple other names, interesting. Dominic Nelson from Iowa State. He is entering the portal. That was just announced today. Jack McCaffrey out of Butler. Butler Thad Mata just left, so that makes sense as to why you wanted to go play for a coach. You want to go somewhere else. Would imagine Jack McCaffrey would end up at Penn, possibly, maybe somewhere else. I don't know, but Jack McCaffrey in the portal as well. Iowa State men also getting a visit from Trey Singleton. That's according to On3 Sports. Singleton out of Northwestern. He is visiting the Iowa State men apparently this weekend.
JT Rock also entered the
JT Rock. He was at Iowa State too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and yeah. He was at New Mexico.
Yep,
New Mexico last year. Yeah.
Yes, he was, say, like 6 points a game,
something like that.
And he's
tall.
Yeah, he's a tall dude.
I think someone will
rim protector kind of guy. Yeah, we'll see, but. That's the latest with that. The other notable one today that came out, James Nagy. Remember James Nagy? You can't remember him. We're not talking about, like, you know, Ryan Terrio here. We're talking about guys who played this past season. James Nagy, who is that guy from Baylor who was the 31st pick in the 2023 NBA draft, got a waiver to play this season for Baylor, caused a pretty big firestorm, and then there's that whole Charles Bediako case in Alabama. Yeah, James Nagy's entering the transfer portal. He's been drafted. Now he's entering the portal. The eligibility rules are so messed up, but no one has the power to really do anything about it. That's just how things are in college athletics. But we'll keep following the latest when it comes to the transfer portal. Again, about 1,500 men's players in the portal as of this afternoon. Question of the, we just talked about Owen Freeman. Do you think Owen Freeman makes his way back to Iowa City? No. We would both be very surprised if that marriage were to were to that partnership, whatever word you want to call it, were to come back together. TCU? No, I don't know. I don't know. It's so hard to throw a dart. Maybe he ends up at Illinois State or something. I don't know, like somewhere that the pressure is off him a little bit. He'd be a good Valley player, right? I think he would be if he wants to play in the games, right? The pressure, I think, a little bit too much at Creighton for the amount of money he was getting. 319-366-1600, quick timeout. Very quick Cubs report, then we'll send you off to the pregame show after this on 1600 ESPN.
Compost is great for your garden. Gives your lawn a healthy lift, and it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Spread that compost around your trees and shrubs, then cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. If you're a Linn County resident, drive up in your personal vehicle for a regular-sized load of free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency next to Mount Trashmore. For commercial size loads, find details at solidwasteagency.org.
Join the Iowa Heartlanders for Landers Fan Fest this Sunday, presented by United Iowa Financial. It's all about you, the fans, as they celebrate five incredible seasons of Heartlanders hockey in the corridor. Kick things off with a pregame tailgate on the Extreme Arena Plaza. Food, fun, and fan energy. Then head inside for an LED foam finger giveaway, pregame pyrotechnics, and more. Puck drops at 3 p.m. this Sunday at Extreme Arena and the Iowa River Landing. Don't wait. This is a high-demand game. Get your tickets now at iowaheartlanders.com.
Smalls here. If it feels like everybody's sick right now, you aren't imagining it. Doctors say this is the worst cold and flu season in 25 years, and it's not over. I can't afford to get sick, and I doubt that you can either. That's why I ordered a medical emergency kit. It's like having an urgent care and a pharmacy right in your home. It includes prescriptions like generic Z-Pak to help you get well faster, plus antibiotics to treat pneumonia, strep throat, sinus and ear infections, nausea, even UTIs and other common illnesses. It's in your kit the moment you need it. No waiting for your doctor, no hours at urgent care, no lines at the pharmacy, no copays. Just match your symptoms to the right prescription in your guidebook and call their telemedicine doctor standing by. Order your medical emergency kit online in minutes and it ships to your door. Save $45 with my promo code SMALLS at urgentcarekit.com/smalls. Again, that's $45 off with promo code SMALLS at urgentcarekit.com/smalls. That's urgentcarekit.com/smalls, promo code SMALLS.
Prescription required. Always consult your doctor to determine if this product is right for you.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Couple minutes left to go here for a Tuesday Power Hour edition of the show. 319-366-1600. Send you off to the Cubs pregame show coming up just past top of the hour here on 1600 ESPN. Let's squeeze in a quick Cubs report that is brought to you by our friends at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. You check them out online at HertineandStockerJewelers.com. Not the news Cub fans wanted to hear by any means. Cade Horton, Cubs announcing earlier this afternoon, will need to have elbow surgery and will miss the remainder of this season. That coming straight from manager Craig Counsell, relayed via numerous sources, including Shadev Sharma of The Athletic and other reporters on scene in Tampa Bay tonight. Chicago Tribune reporting that Horton does have a torn UCL. Still not known whether he'll require the full Tommy John surgery or some sort of alternative, but he's already on the 15-day IL for tests. He'll be transferred to the 60-day IL whenever the Cubs need to open a 40-man roster spot. He left the game Friday for the Cubs through a pitch that was below his average. Summoned the trainer, removed from the game, complained of elbow discomfort. Anytime you see a pitcher with elbow discomfort leave a game or leave a game complaining of that, you kind of know it, you still hope that maybe it's just something precautionary, obviously, but a lot of the social media reaction I saw on Friday was, ooh, that's not good, and that certainly ended up being the case for Cade Horton. One of the top pitching prospects in the league, had a great rookie season last year. 118 innings, 2.67 earned run average. This season will be a lost one for Cade Horton for the Cubs. If there's any silver lining, I know there's no, kind of putting lipstick on a pig here, but the issue popped up early enough in the season that maybe he'll be ready for start of next year. Again, that's not usually how things like this go, but maybe if the process goes well and stuff like that, it can be not an all lost cause for next year either, but I think that's pushing the limits of really truly how this is going to play out. But just a good run of bad luck. I said that before on the show. For multiple people in the sports world, but especially the Cubs, Cade Horton going on the IL and is on the IL, will need elbow surgery. The Cubs also putting Matthew Boyd on the 15-day injured list because of a bicep strain. Cubs will start Javier Assad tonight in Tampa Bay in game two of that series. Boyd so far, just like the Cubs in general, struggling. Boyd 1-1 with a 6.75 ERA. The only pitcher that's really having a good start to the year is Edward Cabrera, who came over in that trade with Miami this offseason. Cubs offense been struggling to produce runs. Scored four last night, but gave up six in the end. Cubs giving up, Cubs starter, I should say, Jameson Taillon, giving up two of the three home runs that Tampa hit in their return to Tropicana Field down in Tampa Bay. Cubs winning that one 6-4. Bright spot last couple games, though, has been Matt Shaw. Second home run in as many games. Solo homer in the ninth. Hit one against Cleveland in game two of the doubleheader on Sunday. So a bright spot there. Nico Hoerner, a couple runs batted in as well in the loss yesterday. So Javier Assad tonight for the Cubs. He'll go opposite Drew Rasmussen for the Tampa Bay Rays, one of their best pitchers. And game time coming up just past 5:40 tonight in Tampa Bay. As that series continues down in Tampa. Quick Cubs report for you. Again, that's brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. And find them online at HertineandStockerJewelers.com. One final in from earlier today. That was the Guardians walking off the Royals 2-1. Brian Rocchio with a walk-off single there. The White Sox currently trailing the Orioles 4-2. That game currently at Wrigley Field on the south side of Chicago. Other games coming up tonight in Major League Baseball. You've got the Marlins hosting the Reds, Andrew Abbott and Sandy Alcantara tonight at 5:40. Pittsburgh sending Paul Skeens to the hill opposite Nick Pivetta as they host the San Diego Padres. Could be some fireworks in Boston tonight. Did you see Wilson Contreras? He thinks the Brewers are intentionally throwing at him. And he has since he played in Chicago. He carried into his time in St. Louis, and now he's in Boston. He sort of got hit by a pitch last night. Didn't necessarily really hit him, but he had some choice words and said, next time they throw at me, I'm going to take one of them out. So Jacob Mizorowski has the opportunity to do the funniest thing possible tonight. We'll see. But Mizorowski and Garrett Crochet at 5:45 from Fenway Park. Cardinals at Washington tonight at 5:45. Matthew Liberatore and Cade Cavalli, your matchup there. And the Twins, pretty good pitching matchup tonight. Skubal and Taj Bradley up in the Twin Cities. There was like 10 people at the game last night, but it's also like 30 and snowing in Minneapolis. So, you know, it's not really baseball weather up there, but not much you can do when you play in an outdoor stadium. That is a quick look at the baseball schedule for tonight. The regional teams in action is NBA and hockey tonight. We are short on time, though, so I will tell you that this has been the Spencer on Sports Power Hour here on 1600 ESPN. Just like that, it goes by. Back with you tomorrow, another Power Hour show. Focus in on some more transfer portal talk, college football as well. Get some more spring football thoughts and follow the latest from baseball and the NBA too. That'll be tomorrow on 1600 ESPN. On the way next, we'll get you a quick SportsCenter update, some news from Radio Iowa, and then turn you over to the Cubs pregame show. 5:05 start for that. 5:40 first pitch. Catch the game right here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.
Evan Cohen here. In life, as in sports, the pros make it look easy.